So, it's my pleasure to announce Vijay Prashad. He's the author of, most recently, among his many, many books and articles, of Darker Nations, A People's History of the Third World. And you can find a lot of his work on Counterpunch.org.
I have most interesting editors. If you get a chance, you should look at it. Anyway, I'm happy to be here, by the way. When I first heard that this was happening in Wall Street, I went there. It was the day after the first tent had come up. And I was bewildered. Take it sitting down. You know, the right wing is out there doing their bizarre kind of politics. And all human beings are being silenced. So actually, this is not a surprise to me. You know, the other thing that I just thought immediately was I was extremely glad there were no demands. And the reason is that we have so many grievances that all our grievances need to first have an airing. There should be a time for just to be out there saying these are the million things wrong. Including, for instance, I decided to travel around to the different Occupy sites and interview people, talk to them. Why are you here? How did you come here? What have you learned? What brought you here? And I've learned surprising things. The most interesting thing is every single Occupy site has a different focus. So, for instance, in New Haven, the focus is homelessness. And what you'll find is in New Haven that this is not the first time people have occupied the green in New Haven. That green has been occupied in 2002 on the issue of homelessness. So homelessness is the central issue in New Haven. In Hartford, the central issue is starvation. Because you may not... So there the question is starvation. Here, the question is, as you'd expect, student debt. I mean, I walked around and within threshold. I mean, we have a crazy society. $2.4 trillion in personal debt held by ordinary people. $1 trillion in student debt. You know, basically the imagination is cut off. I get students coming in first. There's no time to even read Moby Dick, which I learned from the New York Times today every American should read. But how can they read Moby Dick when they have to prepare to be basically functionaries in these buildings? If you want to be a functionary, there's no point reading Moby Dick. Moby Dick, in fact, is going to make you not want to be a functionary. Because in a sense, it's a book about rebellion. So, we get young people in debt, $80,000, $70,000. They leave school, they need to pay that debt back. Their lives have already been indentured. In other words, to be educated is to be indentured. Right. To be educated is not to be free. To be educated is to put your brain in somebody else's pocket. It is no longer your brain, you have no autonomy. So that's one great vulgarity in our society. That is going to kill everything that people think we stand for. Essentially, it is making us into cogs to fill buildings where there are in fact no jobs. I mean, this is just a space to impress people, but it's not actually to create anything of value. So we are in a crazy society. Even crazier than that is in the last 10 years, we've spent $7.6 trillion on the two wars, Afghanistan, Iraq, supplemental wars, Libya, Colombia, Uganda. We spent $7.6 trillion in Homeland Security. We spent $7.6 trillion maintaining bases in over 100 countries in the world. Plus, that $7.6 trillion includes the money spent on taking care of veterans when they return. You know, the body armor has changed. In the days of Vietnam, casualty rates, mortality rates were much higher. Now, there's very good body armor, which means that we have very large numbers of people returning from combat who were not killed in the war, but who lost limbs. You have to count now what it's going to take us to take care of veterans. If you add all that stuff together, it's $7.6 trillion spent on warfare. So that's the crazy system we live in. We spend $7.6 trillion on warfare. We have ordinary people holding $2.4 trillion in personal debt and students with now $1 trillion in debt. What kind of society is that? I mean, in my opinion, it's not a 99% versus 1%. The 1% don't have the time to spend their money. I ask my students, simple thing, you get $100 million bonus. How will you spend it? Okay, they write down, I'll buy an island, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll buy planes, cars, Maserati, you know. Then you get the next year another $100 million. What will you do to spend it? Then I say to them, where's the fucking time to spend? There is no joy in this kind of system. This system is 100% crazy. See, that is why there's no point reforming it. That is why there's no point saying, let's pass this bill, that bill, push them a little, push them. They are not able to be pushed. They have lost their minds. The point is, we have to do a mental transplant. We have to get ourselves unafraid of changing this system, have a brain anymore. All they have is the ability to spin the same cycle over and over again, making promises that are no longer applicable. See, it's no longer, it's anachronistic actually, to tell young people you can do anything you want. It is the, we live in a warfare state, that is the truth. We have spent 7.6 trillion in 10 years building up a military whose only purpose is to serve the interests of very few people in the world, not even people elsewhere. It's not bringing freedom for people. It is bringing new forms of domination. So we have a warfare state. We have a state that is relying upon people going into debt to consume things that they shouldn't really consume. You know, to spin engines where labor elsewhere is going to have to work harder and harder to provide goods which then they are lending you money to buy those goods with. It is a crazy system. I mean, why would Chinese workers work hard to produce plastic? Don't know each other. Somebody said something interesting to me there. Said that he was amazed that, he said, I lived my whole life and I never saw anybody able to have a conversation where they came to some agreement or where they actually listened to each other. And he said, the only thing I've found that I really like about what we're doing here is we are coming to listen to each other. He says that there are people who are Tea Party-ish and there are anarchists, and you know, we haven't created any public goods that enable us to meet. Because this society is based in such a thing that we have to individualize every minute of our day. Sitting alone in the car, driving into underground parking lot, leaving it, click, going up into your office, sitting in a cubicle, occasionally on email you're talking to your friends or texting your friends, but you're essentially alone. And then you don't meet any new people unless it's on the internet, and then who knows who the hell they are. And then after that you leave your work, you may eat at your desk, you know, because our productivity rates have to increase in order to pay off all the debt that we're carrying. We have to work much longer hours, so nobody even goes to lunch together. They eat at their desk, then the work is finished, back to the car, back alone, listening to some irritating thing on the radio, back inside your house. Your children have walked in, they need to go do homework, they've gone to their room. You then go to your home computer and continue working, and then it's time to go to sleep. What sees people that it thinks are inappropriate and fires and kills them. And then 2,500 civilians are dead in Afghanistan and Pakistan on the borderline. 2,500 killed from the sky. We have drones flying over Yemen. It sees a car driving in the desert, boom, gone, obliterated. There is no more regard for international law, no more regard for any kind of consideration that other people might have opinions, no regard that other people's opinions should be listened for. The fact that when you find somebody, it might be worthwhile to bring them to justice, to hear an accounting of what happened. No, this is it. And on the other side, we have ordinary people like ourselves spinning our lives without any sense that we can have social interaction with each other. This is not any longer appropriate. And I'm really glad, and I know that the reason why, like tomorrow in India, Jadavpur University, where there are a million different problems, struggles, fights, why are they bothering? Because they sense two things. Not only that Americans are now saying, we don't want to live with inequality, we don't want to live with the fact that 1% have squandered our lives, they also, this is not just a movement for us. They are hoping this is not a form of internal turning inward. They are hoping that at the same time we are going to firmly challenge the military state and produce some different kind of international order, or at least join together with countries that are serious about international law. You know, it is a curious thing that when it suits us, we evoke international law. When it doesn't suit us, we break it. You know, when it suits us, when American troops were captured in Iraq and paraded on television, we said this is a violation of the 3rd and 4th Geneva Convention. They should not be paraded on television. Meanwhile, when Gaddafi is killed on the streets, it's a violation of Geneva Convention 3 and 4. Nobody here said that this is a violation. You know, what's sauce for the goose should be sauce for the gander. You cannot have double standards in this world of international law. So what people abroad are hoping, I think, is that when we say occupy, 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 we are not just saying give us some of what the 1% has hoarded. We are not just saying, give us a share of your wealth. We are also saying, no more military state, no more bombarding, no more double standards. We want to live as human beings with the rest of the planet. Questions, some thoughts, debate? Yes.
I would just like to tell you that there are 25
states. Fantastic. Anything else? Any thoughts? Yes.
Is there a need for different nation states at this point?
193 nation states in the world. I think before we can consider getting rid of nation states, seriously, the General Assembly of the United Nations. Unless we build that up, we cannot move forward. Before you abolish something, you have to first communicate with each other, see if there are any commonalities. That is, maybe in the year 3000, we may live without nation states. But to get there, we should first respect the General Assembly of the United Nations. And that is going to take a huge leap for the United States.
Acting change, obviously it has to have some organization that can exert power in the right direction. Do you have any starting sense of that?
No, I know already what it's achieved. What it's achieved is it's achieved something. Hey, the Occupy demands of the 99%, 1%. When the Financial Times endorses this movement, you have won an enormous ideological victory. So the ideological victory should be celebrated. That needs to be declared. I would like to see people say we have won that. That means we have actually achieved something already, regardless of what happens. I think the question of institutional formation is separate. I mean, look, there are a million grievances. The grievances need to be utilized, and people need to become aware of all the problems. I think some symbolic demands are very important. Like, the grievances are deep. The change of political parties is not relevant. The structure has to change. That's a long-term... Basically, this is a huge victory. Who would have believed in this country? The New York Times would accept that the 1% have taken too much of the pie. Even that basic liberal thing is a huge victory. Yeah.
One of the great things about, say, for example, Acrobas, is we had all different parts of the ideological political spectrum talking to each other. There's been a lot of trying to draft some kind of statement, and there's real concern that quote-unquote radical demands are divisive, they undermine the populism of the movement, and what advice or what thoughts do you have for us to work on that with each other?
I mean, you know, you are in the middle of discussing it here, so you have a better sense of it. But the warning is the Spanish indignados. You know, they started victory, mission accomplished. It's a huge victory. That. And then I would say, you know, everybody need not agree. But there needs to be some, at least, some kind of symbolic. It may not be Geithner has to go, but some symbolic demand needs to come. The system needs to be gone in 6 months. There has to be something that creates the possibility of further momentum. The snow is going to come. People are going to leave. I would say before you leave, never allow ourselves to leave out of defeat. We must always declare victory and say we'll be back on this date. And then say by this date we expect the following. Three things. You know, we expect that, whatever, this building be turned into a homeless shelter. It's empty. It's a perfectly reasonable demand. We expect the free speech university should be handing out degrees to people without student debt. Okay, so you can get a BA. I'll sign your...
Take money from that building.
Oh, no, forget them. You don't need them. We'll give each other BAs. After all, it's a piece of paper.
No, they don't pay for it.
We can even create a graduation ceremony. You see, maybe we can stop saying, you know, that was the idea of the free university in Berlin. We'll just give degrees. Forget student debt. It's crippling. So there is a way to package momentum. That has to be done. There has to be momentum. The momentum cannot be lost. It's actually momentum that's more important than creating a political platform. Because the momentum is going to allow this to sweep through society.
You've got to have the right ideas.
The right idea. But the ideas have won, my friend. Even the Financial Times, something has happened to that newspaper. They said inequality in America is obscene. That's amazing. Yes.
I was just thinking about the history of movements and two things. One, that I think Occupy has done so well, is to tell a story that people can understand. That's what the right wing does, is they tell a lie so people can understand it. Pointing a finger at the villains, people need a villain. And I think what you're saying, what you said today, helps by spreading that, the more that spreads beyond here.
Yes. I brought something to share with you. The tax cuts to the 1%, just the tax cut, was greater than the combined income of the 99%. That is an amazing data point. Okay, so I want to walk around.
Hold on.
Okay, this is the defense one. Red. It shouldn't be red. Should be a different color. Military department, all the spending, 60%, but this doesn't include the veterans for the future. In fact, it would be greater. More than, if you include payment for veterans' health, it will be greater than 60%. But it's a good indicator. Obscene.
What I add to that,
yeah,
is a lot of people who are on the left say the country's too stupid. They're blinded, but we're not telling the story, and Occupy is telling that story. Obama never told the story, whether he believes it is the other question, but he never told the story, so the bankers get away with everything. But continuing that, the other thing I would hope is that people remember that the one thing that they want to happen is for people to think of to use violence, to take up, to think the next level is to, from the Bread and Roses strike in Lawrence, through Vietnam War demonstrations, through civil rights, they were planting people to do violence, to discredit the movement. That is the history. And people will say, let's start, whatever. That is the end. That turns everyone away. It isn't also.
I think people are aware and everybody understands that. But by the way, we are, as I said, we are 100% stupid. Not 8%, 10%, 15%. We are all stupid. That's the point. We live in a stupid world. History has not even begun. Rationality has not entered the world. This is the irrational world. We are waiting for the world to become rational. That's the point. Not that somebody doesn't get it. None of us get it as such. We are all in thrall of commodities. We are. Oh yeah. Pleasure. Yeah. Pleasure. Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. What's the agenda?
So I don't know. I think we should just continue this discussion, or you can start again.
You are the leader of this.
There's no leaders.
No leaders.
Yeah. Yeah, Doug,
anything you have on your
Yes. Thank you.
What's the website?
ENAA. That's the channel.
You can get to it.